So we're going to be talking about some, I get this question quite often. We've been talking about following the Spirit, listening to and following the Spirit. But sometimes, and from the response that I've been getting, a lot of people want to do that, but sometimes they don't know how to recognize God's voice. And so today I want to talk about that, probably next week too. I don't know that I'll get through my sermon this week. Excuse me just a second. I don't know if I'll get through entirely, but because there's a lot here, and I don't want to overwhelm you, but there's some really wonderful things in Scripture that we can glean and place in our heart and begin to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. I have phone texting threads to communicate with many people at one time. My family, it kind of goes up to 20. I've got a pretty large family. And so, oh, by the way, today's my daughter's birthday. I forgot to text her. I better do that. I'm just reminded myself of that. And we have this text that goes on in our family, and 20 of us will wish my daughter a happy birthday today. When my birthday comes around, I get 20 happy birthday from my family and extended family. And it's kind of fun. It's good to have those communications. And the Bible study group has their own threads that they're, text back and forth and prayer requests and those kind of things. And it's amazing how many times my phone goes off during the day. And sometimes I don't even look at it because I'm busy doing other things. And it may be the evening. And so if it's an emergency, you might want to call me and not text me. Okay. My wife has a special ringtone. So whenever you may call me and you not get an answer right away, but when my wife calls, hello, darling. Because, she's kind of special to me. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to hear God like that? And wouldn't it be nice if when he calls, you could automatically respond? Hello, Lord. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to hear his Spirit speak to your spirit in such a way that you would never miss a call? Sometimes it's like the phone lines are down, like the satellite's going out of commission, like there's blank space and I can't hear. And so today I want to talk about how do you get to a place of listening, and then also what does God's voice sound like? That might be next week, okay? But I want to talk to you this morning about help you getting to a place to listen. Now, you may remember from a few weeks ago, I get started on a track and then I get off because there's other things that are going on. I shared with you a few weeks ago this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. It says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you remember me sharing that? A few of you. Okay. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just thought I did. Okay. Sometimes I have a lot of things in my notes and I don't get to them all. And then I'm wondering, am I retracking myself? I don't know if I have or not. I actually had to go in and listen to some of my sermons yesterday to see what I talked about. When I was a younger individual, I read this passage of Scripture, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them. And I'm thinking, woohoo, I can't wait till we get to heaven. Okay? Because there's some unseeable things, unhearable things, unexplainable things that I'm going to be able to enjoy. That's not what this passage is talking about. Listen, let's read on. But God has revealed it, those things, to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So He wants us to understand what He's given us, right? And in order to understand it, we have to hear to be able to enjoy, be able to receive what He's given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, there are some people who cannot hear God speak. And the reason is because they don't have an ear to hear what God is saying to them. They are spiritually suppressed. They have quenched their spirit in such a way that God can no longer communicate with them. So, the Holy Spirit speaks to our minds. Okay. So, when you have a thought, it very well could be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Oswald Chambers was a young preacher in the 1900s when he went to went into chaplaincy service during World War I. And he went over to Egypt, and he was not really wanting to take his wife because of the danger that it might impose and what she may incur while she was there. And so he decided not to take her, but the Holy Spirit told Oswald to take his wife with him. So they went to a military base in Egypt. And when he was doing the chaplaincy services, she would start taking copious notes. She knew shorthand. How many of you know what shorthand is? Few of you. Okay. Some of you younger ones don't. Shorthand is this type of writing scribbles on a piece of paper. And those scribbles are words. And you can actually transcribe, not me, not maybe not you. The people who know shorthand can transcribe their scribbles to actual words. And so she had learned how to do shorthand. And so while Oswald Chambers was teaching, she would do her shorthand and taking copious notes of the teachings that he had. Whether it was in a chaplaincy service or Bible study, she was taking these notes. Well, in 1943, Oswald Chambers passed away because of a situation with his appendix. After he passed, she decided, I'm going to put this in a book form. And what came from that was probably the most well-known and best devotional ever, My Utmost for His Highest. If Oswald Chambers hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit and taken his wife along, we would have missed a treasure regarding these things. So, a thought came to me this week. And I believe it's from the Holy Spirit. So here's the deal. When you have those thoughts, you need to act on them, right? Otherwise, you're not acting in faith. Well, what if I'm wrong? So what? Been wrong before. Once or twice. Today. So, here's what I'd like to do. I believe the Lord wants to release some of you from pain today. Okay? So how many of you here today have pain that you're addressing, you're dealing with? Okay? So I'm going to do something, and I'm going to take authority over the spirit of pain in the name of Jesus. You may not be aware of it, but there is a spirit of pain. And I know this is weird, and I know this is kind of out of what we normally do, but the thing is, if we don't do what we feel like God wants us to do, we're never going to see any results. Okay? So, how many of you would like your pain to be gone? All right. So in the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I command the spirit of pain to leave you now and go to the feet of Jesus and never return. In Jesus' name, I command you. Amen. Praise the Lord. The reason I'm, never mind, I'm not going to do that. So, was there anyone here today with pain that the pain is gone now? One? Okay. Maybe by the end of the service? I don't know. But we just got to move and do what God tells us, what we feel like God tells us today. Okay? So, so how do we discern God's voice? So I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 7. So when I'm telling you this passage, it's going to sound like, what in the world does that have to do with hearing God's voice? And also, we have to know what not to listen to in order to hear what God wants to say to us. Okay? So in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, now before I begin, the church in Rome was multicultural. They had Jews at the church of Rome. They had Greeks at the church of Rome. And they also had, Paul called them barbarians. Actually, that word means foreigners. Somebody that wasn't Jew, somebody that wasn't Greek, but a foreigner besides. So in a multicultural church. And so when he's talking in this section, he lets them know which group he's talking to. Okay. So he says, and when I'm reading this, you're going to say, oh man, he's talking about divorce, or he's talking about, well, he's using it as an example. He says, since I'm speaking to those who know the law, brothers and sisters, so which group is that? The Jews. So they're speaking to the brothers and sisters who know the law. Don't you know that the law rules over someone as long as he lives? For example, a married woman is legally bound to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law regarding the husband. So then, if she's married to another man while her husband is living, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. Then if she marries another man, she is no longer an adulteress. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also were put to death in relation to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. You belong to him who was raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. For we were in the flesh, the sinful passions aroused through the law were working in us to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, since we have died to what held us, so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. Okay. So what does that have to do with listening to the Spirit? So the Jews were married to the law. Okay. And so he's using it as an example. The Jews were married to the law. And anytime they had a decision to make, they would go to the law. They would go to the Pharisees. They would go to the scribes to find out what is the best decision according to the law. And so then they would make their decision according to the law. And what Paul is saying to these Jews is, no longer does the law dictate your decisions. You are now married to someone else. You are divorced. No, you are dead to the law. You are dead to the law. And therefore, you are married to Jesus Christ. Therefore, no longer subject yourself to the demands of the law. And what the Pharisees say, you need to subject yourself to Jesus Christ because now he's your husband and not the law. Does that make sense? So that's the point Paul is getting to in this passage of Scripture. It is remarkable to me that the God of the universe wants to speak to me. Not just through his written word, but through his spoken word to my spirit. Now, he speaks to us in a lot of different ways, okay? And we've talked about him speaking to us through the word. We've talked to about him speaking to us through visions and dreams. We've talked to him about speaking through circumstances and other people speaking to our lives. We've talked about that, but one of the things I'm impressing upon you today is that God wants to speak to your spirit from his spirit, from the throne room of God, talking to you about your own personal life and the decisions that you make from this day forward. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth, right? Do you need truth about direction? Do you need truth about a job? Do you need truth about who you're to marry, young people? Yeah, you better believe it. You know, when I was looking for a bride, I never saw my wife's name in Scripture. Cynthia's not in there. Okay? Cynthia's not in there. I looked for her. It's not there. But I married her anyway. Because I loved her, and she was a beauty. Still is. God wants to share marvelous things with us, but here's the thing. You're not going to hear him when you're bound in legalism. You're not going to hear him when you're bound in religiosity. You're not going to hear him when you're bound to denominationalism. You're not going to hear him because you're listening to another voice. Now, we are, you know, we're part of a denomination, but I don't listen to their voice when it goes against God's voice. Okay? The Jews could not hear, not all of them, many of the Jews could not hear when Jesus spoke, the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart. Some did. And those who did came into life. Those who did oftentimes were rejected by the other Jews. But they could not hear the Holy Spirit. They could not hear because they were so bound in their religion. They could not here. Isaiah said this, and Paul quotes from Isaiah in Acts chapter 28. He says, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. What in the world caused them not to hear? Their religion, their law. And so what Paul was saying through this passage is, listen, you're dead to the law. You're dead to the law. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Do what the Holy Spirit says. Move with him. You no longer have a dictator called the law. You have Jesus Christ as your husband, and you need to submit to him, and you need to obey him. Does that make sense? Okay. So the Greeks, so we're going to carry this a little further. So I told you that the Greeks were in the Roman church as well. They were Greek-speaking Hellenists. And now they listened to their intellect. Some of the greatest thinkers were of Greek. Aristotle, Socrates, Plato. And when we think of great thinkers, those are the people we think of. Okay. In Acts chapter 17, 21, now all the Athenians, this is in Paul's day, he said, and all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. Acts chapter 17, 21. Did you know many Americans fall into this category? How much time do you spend on social media? How much time do you spend on listening to everybody else's stuff? That's what the Athenians, man, they were eating it up. Anything new that would come out, they just went and they just absorbed it and ate it. That's one of the reasons they came to hear Paul. It's something new. So he wanted, you know, he presented it. But a lot of times, our intellect can quieten the voice of God because we have to think it out. We have to reason it out. We have to be logical. And if it doesn't match up with our logic, then it's not going to make sense to us, and we're not going to follow it. So we have a pastor's meeting every Thursday morning. And we were at the pastor's meeting this Thursday, and George Hodgson happened to be there this week, which I always love to see him when he comes. That's Carolyn's brother. And so he just asked the pastors, he said, have you ever heard God speak to you? And so we went around the table and shared. And one of the pastors shared that when I was a teenager, I was sitting in a service where there was this a group of people who came to try to raise money for their outreach. It was to help individuals with addictions to try to overcome those addictions. And so they were trying to raise money. And as a teenager, I was sitting there and I heard God speak to my heart. And he says to me, I want you to give $5,000. And he said, I was just a teenager. He didn't know where he was going to get $5,000, but he put on his pledge card, $5,000. Put in the offering plate. A little later, the fellow was reading the pledges, said he went through every one of them. Oh, this guy's getting $50. Somebody's giving $20. They got to the $5,000 and he didn't even read it. He just went on ahead. But this pastor said by the end of the summer, the Lord had given him $5,000 so that he could donate to this group. Amazing. Did you know that sometimes it doesn't make sense what God tells you? Sometimes you can't logically figure it out. You just have to do it. It didn't make sense to Moses to stretch out a staff over a body of water. And the water separated. It didn't make sense for the priest to step in the water with the Ark of the Covenant and the Jordan River. It didn't make sense. And you go through Scripture and find out how many times it makes sense to walk in faith. Well, that don't make sense. Well, that didn't make sense. So here's the deal. Logically, you can't figure it out. You just have to trust God. Matter of fact, there's a passage of Scripture in Isaiah that says, Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are as higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God don't often make sense. We just have to do what he tells us to do. To hear God's voice, you have to close your mind to what is reasonable, what's logical. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't want us to use our brain, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we try to overthink and outthink God. And because of that, mentally, we put ourselves outside of a walk of faith, and we have to, we at a walk of figuring. If I can figure it out, I'll do it. Okay? And so God is just telling us, listen, our Paul was telling us through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, listen, you're not going to walk in a walk of faith and listening to God's Spirit and following the Spirit if you're always trying to make sure it makes logic. Does that make sense? Okay. So I want to ask you a question. Are you a Jew? Or are you a Greek? Oh, there's one more. Paul calls them barbarians. I like that name, so I'm going to call them a barbarian. And these barbarians are emotionally driven. So whatever their emotions dictates to them, that's what they're going to do. They allow fear. They allow anxiety. They allow anger. They allow sorrow. They allow lust. They allow greed. They allow doubt to drive them. And they listen to their emotions. And listen to me. It's very easy to allow our emotions to speak louder than the Holy Spirit. It's very easy to be driven by emotions rather than being prompted by the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, don't allow your emotions to drive your train. Let truth drive your train. Let the truth of the Holy Spirit drive your train. How many of you have ever made any mistakes by following your emotions this week? Yeah. I think when I get in trouble, that's like where I get in trouble the most, is allowing my emotions to overcompensate. And I move too quickly without just kind of backing up and resting a moment and listening to what the Holy Spirit says. Whenever you feel an urgency to do something, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. Probably not the Holy Spirit. The passage of Scripture, you see it up on the board, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious for anything. And I would say don't be anxious, don't be angry, don't be sorrowful. Don't allow those emotions to drive you. But in everything, by prayer, say everything by prayer. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Say peace of God. Say it again. One more time. Peace of God. So how much peace of God do you have when you're running in fear? How much peace of God do you have when you're running in anxiety, anger, any other emotion? So this is a key that we're not going to get to this week, but hold on to that. The peace of God. We'll be talking about that more next week. Okay. the peace of God that drives us or that guards our minds, that guards our heart. How many of you have ever experienced the peace of God? Okay, many of you. Here's the thing. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And you will never, ever, 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 ever experience the peace of God until you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because he's the Prince of Peace. You can't have it any other way. You can, you know, I have a friend who, or becoming a friend with a fellow who's a Buddhist. And, you know, they have these conferences where you talk about peace and try to get in a certain realm and that kind of thing. I hope to one day share Christ with him. Because you can go all over the world. Go to every conference imaginable. But unless you meet Jesus there, you're not going to have peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God that is unexplainable. Have you ever tried to explain the peace of God to someone? It's really difficult to do. It's kind of like trying to explain ice cream to someone who never had ice cream. It's good. It's delicious. It's wonderful. But if you've never experienced it, those words don't even explain anywhere near what the peace of God is. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to touch on this. I'll probably bring it back up next week. So, we have to get ourselves out of the way. We have to get our emotions out of the way. We have to get our thinking out of the way. We have to get our religiosity out of the way. I guess that's a word. We have to get all that out of the way in order to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And sometimes that's a chore. Sometimes there's strongholds in all of that that have to be broken in order for you to get to a place where you can hear. But you have to get to a place where you can center on the Lord and have to be and get and receive answers. And I'll just say this. The best way I found to hear from the Holy Spirit is just ask yes and no questions. Don't ask for a book. He's already done that. All right. Don't ask for paragraphs. Don't even ask for sentences. I form my questions to the Lord in a yes and no. Lord, is this what I should preach today? Yes. I actually thought I was going to preach something else. It's sometimes the Lord gives me more than one message, and one of them, I guess, is for me. And I think it's for you, but then it's like, nope, this one. And so I ask a lot of yes and no questions because it's easy for this brain to receive yes and no. Okay. That's not saying he doesn't sometimes give me more. He does, but in order to find direction, I ask a lot of yes and no questions. I think this is a good stopping place. This gives you a lot to chew on this week. But I want to give you an invitation. If you've never experienced the peace of God, if you've never experienced that overwhelming peace, that regardless of what's going on around you, you know that God has this. And you know that God has you. And you are just trusting Him. That's what happens when you pray. Scripture says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What happens in that prayer time is that you're beginning to trust the Lord rather than trusting your emotions, rather than trusting the law, rather than trusting your intellect. You begin to learn to trust God and you begin to focus on Him. And here's the thing, a lot of people will never experience the peace of God because they've never met Jesus. I remember I was very religious growing up. Now, man, I was really super religious. But I didn't know Jesus. And I was trying to do all the right things, messing up a lot, of course. But, you know, I really wanted to do all the right things, but that didn't bring me peace. It was only when I met Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior that I finally received the peace I had been looking for and didn't even know I was looking for it. And so perhaps today you're sitting here and you said, you know, I want what that pastor's talking about. I want that peace in my heart. I don't have it. Some of you today are believers. You've experienced the peace in the past, but you're not walking in it now. And the Lord is saying to you, it's still here for you. What is keeping you from receiving? We'll have a time of invitation. Whatever, whatever's on your heart. Maybe you want to receive Christ, come talk to me. Maybe you've had peace before and there's something troubling your heart you need prayer for. I'll pray for that. Or maybe you just want to come to the front and kneel here at the front and search your heart. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart and get those things out of your life that's hindering you from being able to experience the peace of God. Because I'll let you know now, and I'll tell you again next week, it's the peace of God that leads you and will guide you. But you have to have that peace before you can be led by it. Father, I come before you. We'll ask our worship team, come on up. I come before you, Lord, and I just, Lord, you're doing a work here today. And Lord, there are some who've come in with heavy burdens. And Lord, you want to lift those burdens. But there's some who've come today and they have never experienced your peace. They never will unless they receive Christ as their Savior. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would just do in each of our hearts whatever you want to do so that you will be glorified. And, Lord, that we would be changed, transformed from the inside out. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.